This is Yusuf.
And this is Inflight Entertainment.
And we are in Thursday, meaning that this is a throwback, an 80s throwback. I don't know. Would you call this a like an obscura, 80s obscura, or you think this like have a cult following that people will notice?
Obscura, 100%. I feel like you're one of the few people I've mentioned this movie to, and they're like, yes. Yes.
Yeah. That's definitely one of those movies that kind of flew under the radar of that year. Was that 84, I believe?
Yeah, I mean, it came out the same year Terminator came out. So if you think about like technology from a disturbing perspective, if you're looking at Terminator or Runaway, Terminator probably sticks in your mind a little bit more than this movie.
Right. And this movie that we're talking about is Runaway. Not Runaways, but Runaway.
And not Runaway Bride, just Runaway.
Yes. This is a December 14th, 1984 release.
Starring the amazing Tom Selleck and his mustache. Cynthia Rhodes, the amazing Gene Simmons, and Kirstie Alley.
Yep. Oh, and let's not forget G.W. Bailey from Police Academy fame. It's so funny. I was like, his scenes were so weird. It's like when he was in the scenes, like, did we really need him in these scenes just to like be there to yell at people? But it's G.W. Bailey, so you know, yes, we need him in these scenes because it's him.
Right. Well, and it's funny because there's a scene where Michael Paul Chan, I think he plays a security guard in the movie. So G.W. Bailey and Michael Paul Chan ended up being in a TV show together where they both play police detectives.
Was that The Closer?
Yes, it was.
I used to watch that with Kira Sedgwick.
Yes, yep. Yeah. So every time I see them, I'm like, oh, The Closer guys.
Okay, so what is this movie about?
Well, before we go into that, what are the throwbacks for December 1984?
Okay, yeah, we can go into that. Television, what we were watching, 1 for 5, 2 1, Family Ties, 60 Minutes, Cosby's of Locking Down 3, J.R. Ewing in Dallas was number 2, and Joan Collins in the Dynasty Game was holding down number 1. we wanted to see rich white people in drama. And number
song, was it Wham? I Gave You My Heart?
No, but okay, but this song is from a duo, you know, a white singing group. Not Tears for Fears.
Dire Straits?
No.
I can't think of anyone else.
Come on, how can you not think about Hall & Oates? Come on. Out of touch, out of time. Yeah, that was the song. Yeah,
and I've seen them in concert like 3 times.
Yeah, how can you forget them?
Sort of blocked them from my memory.
All right, so what is this movie about?
This movie is about, in the near future, a police officer specializes in malfunctioning robots. When a robot turns out to have been programmed to kill, it begins to uncover a homicidal plot to create killer robots, and his son becomes a target. IMDb, you don't need to say, and his son becomes a target. Just end it with the killer robots.
Yeah, it's like spoiler alert, IMDb. Like, Yeah. I mean, other than that, yes, the description holds water.
Yeah.
So we open up with the Tom Selleck character, Jack Ramsey, in the station. He is introduced by his new partner, Thompson. And it's like kind of like your standard police thing, like, oh, new partner. All right, come on, you know, come with me so we can try to disarm this thing. At the same time, we get to know each other while we go to the scene. So, I mean, you've seen scenes like that in a lot of, you know, police movies, except this particular movie, they're not going to arrest anyone. They're going to shut down or fix malfunctioning robotics. Yeah.
Right. So they're basically IT specialists, but they happen to be cops.
Right. Yeah. It's like it's a different branch of the police department.
Right. It'd be like if the genius desk at Apple were actually police officers.
Exactly. So as the story progressed, Ramsey, start to notice, you know, robotics, you know, they have like your Roombas back in the day and stuff like that, that used to do things in households that humans won't do or don't do anymore. That's malfunctioning. But now certain malfunctioning robotics are turning violent, like killing their owners and stuff like that. So Ramsey is seeing that, oh no, someone is manipulating these machines, which uncovers our main baddie, Luther. That's funny. Like, I think Gene Simmons just, you know, I'm sure he just walk on set, like, just give me my line, you know. I mean, he looks like that all the time. Like, I don't think he had to do any dramatic stretches. Honestly.
Right. So apparently he got the part because when Michael Crichton, who directed and wrote this, you may recognize his name from books like Jurassic Park. Mm-hmm. According to Gene Simmons' autobiography, when he met Michael Crichton, he asked Gene Simmons to stare at him for a minute without making any facial expressions. And he said that Simmons looked menacing enough that he cast him as the role for Luther.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
And to the disappointment of some, Simmons does not flash his iconic tongue in this movie. Sorry. That's what he was known for in this group kiss. So we're getting old Simmons song in this movie.
So the big thing about the movie and the robots that Luther creates is that they are personalized to a person. So if you have a bullet going through a crowd, it's not going to hit any random person. It's going to target a specific person by their heat signature. And they not only have bullets, but they also have robot, like spider robots, mm-hmm. that when they hit you, they inject you with acid that then catches on fire.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm like, this movie is kind of ahead of its time, because I was like, okay, I think we're in the age of drones and guided missiles and all that stuff. But, you know, Luther's character was like, you know, we're doing guided bullets. Like, we'll have to take it a step further. I think I'll be on board if, you know, they pass that. And I was like, hey, you get in charge. That's like what Chris Rock said we need bullet control. Like, what is it, charge $5,000 per bullet or something? Like, okay, yeah, you get this spar bullet and you got to pay $200,000 for it. And that person you want killed if you spend $200,000 for that one bullet. Like, it's not going to be any innocent bystanders getting hit anymore. It's like, okay, if that bullet hit you, like, you did something. Like, they wanted you dead. But yeah, so that's what, but these robotics and electronics, Ramsey was finding out when they were, you know, taking apart these machines, it had this special, like, microchip, you know, that Luther got from, was extracting from a robotics company. Is that what he was doing? He was getting the chips to do his bullets.
He was working with the robotics company to have these special chips created. And so that's how Magnum P.I.'s character, what's his name in the movie?
Ramsey.
Is really discovers everything, is that the head of the robotics company gets killed. And then when they go to investigate her, his administrative assistant is trying to smuggle out all this, the chips to Luther.
Yep, played by Kirstie Alley. I think was she on Cheers at this time, or probably not? I don't think she got on Cheers yet.
I don't think so. But let's go see what her IMDb page says.
Yeah, and you know, Luther is obsessed with her, not only because she had the chips, but she also had the template so Luther can make more chips off of. You know, when he sell out, he can just make more chips off of this template. So that was the main goal of the baddie. Not only grab the chips, but grab a template so he can constantly make these chips, so he can make these smart bullets, he can sell to the highest bidder, you know, across the globe. So he could be, you know, this weapons runner of all weapons runners. Yeah. One of the ultimate.
Cheers didn't come out until 87. So,
oh, okay.
She had been in the best Star Trek movie.
Wrath of Khan, damn it.
Wrath of Khan, yes.
Goddamn right. yeah, it's funny. Like, I always say, Kirstie Alley and Kim Cattrall, like, they throughout their like the 80s, they were strategically placed in these movies that, you know, it's like beloved. They're like Star Trek 2, you know, like Kim Cattrall, she was like the first Police Academy in Big Trouble in Little China. Like, yeah, like we know them. and so Ramsey's domestic life consists of his son and his kind of machine mate type thing that like babysits and cleans and cooks. It's like a Alexa. It's like an R2-D2 Alexa ish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, he'd be like, hey, dinner's ready. You know, oh, you know, the son is. It's not sleep yet, you know, and stuff like that. So it's kind of give you reminders.
Yeah, I liked the robot nanny a lot because, I mean, the child is basically a latchkey kid. He just happens to have a robot home that makes sure he gets dinner and goes to bed at the correct time. Versus every kid from the 80s, it was not every, a lot of the kids in the 80s were fending for themselves until dinner time. So it was a nice reference to latchkey 80 kids.
Yeah.
And then like all the other, a lot of the robot movies from the 80s, whether it was like Star Wars or Blade Runner, Terminator, the robots tended to be a little more humanoid. And this one, the robots were pure scary robots from your nightmares. Mostly the spider robots.
Yeah. It's so funny. The spider bots. Yeah, that's the one thing that sticks out. Like there's sequences I forget, something like that, but there's always like those freaking spider bots. Like I vividly remember all of that. So it was around, I'm like, oh yeah, those spider bots in that movie. Yeah, I remember that movie.
There's also the robot that is the on the highway that seeks out a specific location or car.
Yeah, they're like little RC, like radio control, little roly polies.
Yeah. Yep, that has stuck with me for, both of those robots have stuck with me for a very long time. to the point, like, there is a company, well, I think, is it Honda or Toyota that has a walking robot? And then there's another company out of Boston that has a robot that looks like the spider robots. And every time they release a PR clip of their robots, I'm like, have you not seen Run Away? We know where this is going. This is a very bad road to go between Run Away and Terminator. Mm. This is a bad road to walk down, and we just need to all cut it out.
Yeah, pretty much. But we're humans. We never learn. It's funny rewatching this movie. But I guess it'll issue because it gave, this came out before RoboCop, but it had kind of like that real world grounded urban, you know, kind of everyday kind of, it wasn't like a glorified thing. It was like a day in the office, kind of like, okay, a day in the precinct. It wasn't anything like kind of glossy or like, oh, a little gadgety stuff. They're like, okay, they're in the office. They're like taking apart shit and, you know, they get in their car, they go to the scene, you know, like it kind of reminded me of like how like RoboCop's Detroit felt. It's like, there's nothing sexy about this, like, you know, city or or this age or this future that we're in. You know, it's just very modern. It's very, you know, nothing flashy. It's just robotics.
Yeah, I mean, the movie's an hour and 30 minutes long, so it is like watching an extended Law and Order episode that just were
like, with spiders,
the cops, and we never get into the court. But yeah,
and of course, like in every, you know, screenwriter 101, you have to have a compelling main character with a vulnerability. In this case, Ramsey had vertigo.
Oh right, yeah,
yes, yeah. You know that. You know,
the hero always has a thing that he has to overcome, and
yep. Yeah, I mean, actually, I would definitely, you know, play this film, you know, in like film school with people who just want to know like just a basic character 101 of like a hero's journey. Like if you just want to make just an adequate hero's arc, being cop, superhero, like this is kind of what it is, you know, like that ultimate thing internally to overcome on top of the external thing he have to overcome, you know, so it's like two wins in one. So yeah, like it's very like old school playbook kind of, but you know, it always works. That's why it's always, you know, they always do it.
Ramsey, who's played by Tom Selleck, this movie came out in 84, so it was right in the middle of his Magnum PI world, because he was on Magnum PI from 80 to 88.
Yeah. Oh, and another thing. Okay, so Thompson, Ramsey's partner, gets one of those smart bullets stuck in her arm. And it was a really good scene because it really showed, and this is where, to me, Tom Selleck really shined, like far as his, you know, like him really getting dramatic about something, you know, how he was like, okay, they're about to bring like a clunky, you know, robot in to take the bullet out. And he's like, no, like get this thing out of here. It's like X amount of generations old. Like it's shaky. Like it's no, like I'm going to go in. I'm going to do it myself kind of thing. And what? Okay, let me ask you this. As far as action movies, what did this scene remind you of? Does this remind you of any scenes in any action movies? Like 80s action, later 80s action movies?
Lethal Weapon 2?
Yes, the toilet.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, Rings of Murtaugh. This is a Rings of Murtaugh scene. yeah, they had to get the exploded bullet out of her arm. So yeah, that was pretty cool. So yeah. I was saying something always comes from something. So
yeah, so I mean, This movie is on, I believe it's on Amazon Prime right now that you can watch. I think that's where I watched it. Mm. And it's funny because when I go on IMDb and type in Runaway, it doesn't come up. It's definitely one of those random movies that I think only folks from the 80s might recall if they watched, if they're really into robot movies.
Yeah. You know what? I would like to see someone take, like, bring this movie into, you know, now. I mean, because there's a lot of really, like, good stuff in this movie. I know it's dated, and I know, like, the technology is, like, super dated. But, I mean, there's a lot of stuff, a lot of commentary on today's technology. They can rework in the context of the Runaway Squad. You know, and yeah, I mean, I think they can bring this back and make it very relevant.
Yeah, agreed. I feel it has a strong story to it. I could do without the romance, but every action movie needs a fucking romance story in there. So whatever, go for it. But you could make it a new modern and with a lot of the CGI and even some of the practical effects that we can do with computers and robots nowadays, that it could be very, very cool.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I mean, the right writer and the right director, if they took it and modernized it and kind of spruced it up, this could be a really good one. I have like Tom Selleck as like the old chief.
Yes.
Oh, you gotta have him in there one way or another. You gotta squeeze him in the new version, right? I don't know how, but you gotta get him in there. Yes. And yeah, I mean, I don't know if Gene Simmons will ever come back, but you know, whatever. He died, so it's fine.
His characters, I mean, you can have like a cameo maybe, but his character wouldn't come back.
No, his character wouldn't come back. Yep. Yeah. And what did you think as far as like the okay, 80s villainy ratings, like I guess from 0 being horrible to 10 being, you know, a standout 80s villain, like where do he fall?
I mean, Gene Simmons definitely has like the dead cold stare down.
But didn't he have like that smirk? Didn't he give you kind of like that laugh a little bit? That maniacal kind of smirk?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like his evil character is definitely, him and his robots have definitely haunted some of my like nightmares. So he's like from 0 to 10. He's probably like an 8 or 9. I can't think of anyone that's a 10.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's definitely up there. Yeah. Him and his robots.
Yeah, I'd definitely give him an 8. Yeah, definitely an 8. Like I said, his knowledge of, you know, computing, you know, him crafting weapons and the spider robots. He was very calculated. He was very cunning. He was, like you say, he was very cool about it. Yeah, he had, like, he always approached this scenario like he's already like 3 steps ahead of everyone. So he was never like he was Hans. Like he just knew he was in control of everything. Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like for a bad guy, he was ultimately creating the chips to sell to arms dealers to make like super powerful weapons, which seems very realistic. Mm-hmm. Versus some of the James Bond villains that always seemed a little bit out there in the 80s. Although he would be a fantastic combination with the James Bond killer that goes to Silicon Valley, played by...
Go to Silicon Valley.
A View to a Kill, dude.
Oh, Walken.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. Like, if you got Walken and him together, ooh, that would be a bad combination.
Oh, yeah, they'll probably start, you know, trying to kill each other, have maniacal, they'll be.
After they took over the world, yes.
Yes. okay, yeah, speaking of 10s, yes, as soon as I talked up Hans, yeah, Hans would be my 10. as far as villains, yeah, he is. Yeah. Like he came in like a wrecking ball. It was like, holy shit, this dude is amazing.
Okay, so for rating, it's sit on the sofa, watch the movie again, clean the house, you know, rather do something else, or go outside and have a life.
Sit down for me. I don't know, just something about this movie, like, I know it's dated. I know it's 80s. I know, like, I just look past it. It has a really interesting story. The sequences were good. Like you said, that whole chase thing with the little rolling drones that was trying to blow the cars up. Got exciting, you know, in the creepy spider, Gene Simmons creepy. I don't know. It's just like stuff worked in this movie for me. Like, and yeah, I get to sit down.
Yeah, I mean, sit down for me, but I wonder if that's because it's like nightmare nostalgia that I have for it. But yeah, I mean, I think I suggested the movie, so obviously it's a sit down for me.
Yes, so he's like, right? I'm like, yes, girl, yes. Yeah, this is an excuse to watch it again. Yeah, and I remember liking it when I watched it. Yeah, and plus Tom Selleck does his thing, you know. Yeah. Before this is pre Three Men and a Baby, Tom Selleck. That was before he made all the monies with that damn movie. Yeah. But yeah, so they have a guy's Runaway, not Runaways. He suggested it's a good 80s sci-fi film that I think, you know, you should watch and kind of put it in the other 80s, you know, futuristic movies. I think it deserved to be there.
And it's only an hour and 30 minutes long, so, you know, not going to take that much time out.
Yeah. Yeah, you enjoy it. It's not boring at all. And the movie moves, you know, even the slower scenes where, you know, they had Tom Selleck's house was, you know, it's pretty, you know, it's funny because, you know, you got the R2-D2 Rosie from Jetsons kind of robotic maid, you know, kind of Sam like piffy stuff and, you know, playing off of Tom Selleck. I mean, it wasn't boring. I mean, it had some funny moments and stuff like that. So yeah, we suggest it. Runaway, check it out. Yeah, guys, thanks for listening, and we will catch you next week with some more awesome reviews. Until then, we wish everyone safe physical distancing and
keep wearing those masks and get your vaccines.
Yes. Peace.